Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If I needed a defensive tackle, I'm willing to take Kenneth Grant pretty much as high as I need him.
Backs up on first down, his pressure, and slung down at the 5. The pass rush gets home. That's big Kenneth Grant.
It's Mike Shope.
I think the Bills can beef up this defense literally up front with a defensive lineman and Kenneth Grant or Tyreek Williams. Get somebody that can help get you off the field as a pass rusher and then get a coverage safety that can take away the football on the back end. And this defense would be ready to go to war with those three guys.
Klubnik lets it go deep and it is intercepted by the All-American Malachi Starks.
And the Bulldog.
They don't have a number one wide receiver. I wonder if they'll be aggressive in the draft.
Cook pumps, throws, Burton in space. That's where you want him to get the football, and he takes it to the house.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Here we go, another hour of our annual NFL pre-draft special. You can watch us on YouTube, talk to each other. We may look like we're far apart, but I can almost touch Nate. I've never done. There's Bulldog right there. And your mic is not on.
Is that? Yeah, okay, it works. Has anyone ever sat here before?
A couple times.
That was my spot for a long time.
We've had 4 or 5 of us in here a time or two. So, yeah, but it's been a while.
It changed for me when I wanted to use my own computer, and this is where the space is.
Yeah, you're. This is where the phone is now.
And this one. Yeah. But that's always kind of like been there, but I would use the work computers until that just was not better.
But you were never this close to me. You were more like in the middle here. Of that spot. Yeah, but
that mic.
Yeah.
I
inside
feel,
baseball.
I kind of wish I was here for the olive loaf argument. To be in the middle of that would have been, or the journey argument, I would have liked to have been in the middle of that,
well,
frankly.
The floor is yours. It is pre-draft. I mean, it's not like it's tonight.
Sure, that's right. We do have a week.
We do have a week, which we will use on the mostly on the draft.
Mostly, yeah.
Do you have, on the draft, if I may, do you have a position group that you think you have the best handle on?
Corner.
All right, good, because yeah. I don't feel like I have that locked down, so to speak. I know there are 5 or 6 names.
Yeah.
Siobhan Revelle is another one that
like
now you see sometimes in mock drafts. There, yes or no, there should be someone at that position worthy of pick 30.
Yes. It's funny. I was on with Chris Trapasso yesterday, which I'm sure, you know, if he got royalties for every time we mentioned his name on the show here, I think he would be doing quite well.
Better than Journey.
Yeah, much better than Journey. we talked about this yesterday about how the board, you know, will likely fall. I think I saw Ben Solak tweet about this too. He's like, this is going to be one of those drafts where the guy or gal that has the mock draft that's like 80% correct. You know, Evan Silva is always he's a very good mock drafter. Like, I think everyone's going to struggle this year,
right?
Because I mean, you just have guys that are going 30. that could go in the third round in somebody's seven round mock. It is a very unique draft for that. But I think the need for the Bills, and I know we were talking about it in there too. Chris Brown loves Derek Harmon from Oregon, and I like him a lot as a player. I think they need a big guy. They need a one technique, and he doesn't really strike me as a 4-3 inline one tech that's going to be a a man eater. So for me, if Kenneth Grant's gone, I don't know that you want to wait until 56 or 62 to take a corner, because I don't think you're going to get. I think the guys that you are going to get that are going to be step-in starters are the ones you're going to get at 30. I think you can get guys at the one-tech position at 56 or 30, or 62 that you can just say, all right, they can plug and play.
I feel like Grant is the end of somebody who could be really do both things, right?
Maybe be a blue chip.
Right. They want someone, sure, to eat up space and help at Oliver and keep guys off linebackers and all that traditional stuff, but they also might be striving for more than that. And the guys that you're getting on Saturday or even on Friday are probably don't have the potential. Grant might be the last one, if the rankings are correct. He's usually the last one of those guys that could turn into space eater plus, right? Like he can penetrate and get to the quarterback eventually. Like I think he might have the potential to develop that. Outside of that, I'm probably waiting until Saturday to pick that guy.
And I mentioned this point, and I should have taken the time between yesterday and now to look up this guy's name, but the Bills added this former Atlanta defensive coordinator, and again his name is just escaping me, but they immediately made a move in Michael Hoyt to sort of prop up what he did very well in Atlanta, which was they like to blitz, they like to disguise their blitz, and they like to run man coverage. Well, they got one of the two things done. I think the other thing they'd really like across from Christian Benford is a guy that can be a man corner. And they tried to draft one in the first round a couple of years ago with Kyrie Elam. It didn't work out because he could not play the zone. And he wasn't really a great man corner. He was a good press physical guy at the line of scrimmage. But once you were able to beat it. So this draft, I think, at 30, I think provides a very unique group of corners that I really like that have high athletic profiles that are 4-3, 4-4 guys, all 6'2", long arms, can play both man and zone. So for me, I have viewed 30 really from the beginning as this is their opportunity to get their long-term cost control starter on the other side of Christian Benford.
Right. Who's your favorite idea there?
Because By the way, Ryan Nielsen is the name of the coach.
Ryan Nielsen. Thank you. I like Revell a lot.
Me too.
I can understand if there's hesitancy. They've already got two guys that aren't going to play for the first 6 weeks of the year. And if they just feel we can't have a bunch of guys that aren't playing, I could get down with that point. But he's 22, 21 years old. He should probably be very close to ready to go.
He got hurt in September.
September. Yeah. He's almost still. He'll be a year removed by the time they start. Right. I would think he's going to be fine. He, to me, I think before the injury, is the guy that you're talking about right after Travis Hunter. Jahdae Barron is in a huge, we talked about this yesterday. Was Chris and I were both in agreement. Neither of us really liked Barron as a prospect. He's going to be a very high pick. We think he's overrated. Smaller guy. Really, he's played 70% of his snaps outside, but was really short arms and was kind of being projected to be a slot corner. So even if he somehow falls in this draft, I don't really view him as a guy that I think the Bills would target, because they've clearly got their slot cornerback situation figured out. But I just think there are so many specimens. I like Trey Amos a lot from Ole Miss, but I think the guy that I'm really coming around on a lot is Kit Harrison from Kentucky. He's a 4-3 guy. I think he ran a 4.38 40. And on top of that, 6'2", 6'2 and a half, long arms. That to me is the guy I want. I want long arms, specimen, and can run, because I was surprised at how good last year Christian Benford was in man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd like to run more of it.
I want to say probably one, at least maybe two of those names makes it to day two.
It's very possible, yeah.
You know, just thirst for other positions, Revell's injury, whatever it is. And I think you mentioned sort of like not having, at 56, the Bills' second pick, being able to get this player there. So, interesting, maybe this would surprise people to know. This is, again, just one chart, draft value, the draft tech chart. But it's going to be hard for them to move up significantly in the second round to draft someone like this without using both seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe they use next year's picks, but their next pick after their second round pick, sorry if that's confusing, 109. If you package 109 and 56, which is their first second round pick, that's about seven spots up in value. Seven or eight spots
up. They
can
get
into
the 40s. 49,
you can
right?
get in 40, 48, 49. That's right. Dolphins, Bengals. So that seems like a little bit expensive for moving up seven spots in the second round.
I agree.
And that might not, I don't know, Nate, this is a question for you. Is that even far enough?
Yeah.
To solve this particular problem.
I think I was listening on the way in and Jeremy talking about not really wanting to trade back. I also agree. I think I'm not here to I don't think it'll be some sort of, you know, travesty if they don't end up doing this. But I think this is the draft. You really want to have four picks in the top 75. So for me, I see absolutely no value in them taking three players in the sixth round. I don't see the value in it. Mm-hmm. There aren't 10 or 11 spots on this roster up for grabs. So for me, I don't think they should be picking. They should, the fourth round, the fifth round, whatever. I'm not interested in them. I'd like to be leaving here on Saturday next week at around 3 or 4 o'clock. And that just like the rest of the rounds is just that we're interviewing people. So for me, you know, do I see them potentially moving up in the second? To your point, Mike, I think it'll be a little difficult. To me, it's could you get up early into the third round and how would that look? I think we talked about this yesterday too. How many times last year did they talk about feeling burned by the league by not getting that third round compensatory pick? I think it ended up being the difference between them getting up to get Brian Thomas Jr. and not. I think it ultimately was the reason that they moved back. They felt they really needed that third round pick. They don't have it this year, and you don't hear them talking about it in the same way they were last year. So for me, maybe they're not as giddy about doing that, but to me, if you could figure out a way to have four picks in the top 75 of this draft, I think there's a reasonable like scenario there where they end up with four starting caliber players.
I don't think you can do it without trading down. I mean,
I would agree with that.
Again, by the numbers, and I'm not trying to take you so literally, but pick 75, it's about where we're at here.
Mm-hmm.
That's equivalent to every one of their Saturday picks, which is seven players.
Sure. No one's doing that. Yeah, one's doing that. I agree with you that the trade back is probably their best. So for me, I have thought that if you're really like one of these corners, trading back 5, 7, 8 spots makes a ton of sense to me because then you can get the ammunition that Mike's talking about to then find your way back into the top 75. And for me, if the difference between Amos, Hairston, Ravel, that Porter kid from Iowa State, if they're all kind of similar to you, you don't maybe care if two or three of those guys are off the board as long as you end up with one of them at, say, 38.
I'll give you what might be a good hypothetical by the same draft tech chart. Pick 30. Say New Orleans wants Jackson Dart, and mm-hmm. he's still there, or even Sanders. They want their quarterback. 30 for 40 and 93, Saints. That works. There's your math.
And then you could get a couple of those sixths and a 93rd pick and move yourself up early into that third round, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that's how it has to happen.
So you're out of the first round this way. What do you think of the optics of that? Like last year they traded out of the first round. It didn't really, to this point, is this not fair? Like it didn't work.
No, I just think they picked the wrong. If they picked Ladd McConkey, I don't think we're talking about it not working. I think we're talking about what a brilliant decision that was.
That's how that goes.
I don't want to be hypercritical to say that they got that pick totally wrong. It appears they're not. And I also think the conversation about wide receiver, if 56 or 62 is a wide receiver, what's the conversation about Keon Coleman? Because I'm then finding it hard to find out where he fits on the roster on the 53. If you have then you have Dwayne Carter, who is probably going to get pushed out by whomever they draft in the top two rounds here at defensive tackle. And you're like, listen to you guys too, talk about Jeremy, like talking about Cole Bishop, where, you know, they kind of maybe can't trust him or whatever. Then your top three picks from last year are all in this very awkward position of, the draft picks this year are now potentially taking their place. I don't know that I believe that about Bishop.
Yeah,
but.
I feel like, and you made this point about Coleman with me on Friday, and I've referenced it a couple times this week in talking with Mike and here. I think it's you might be overstating it a bit because nobody's playing 98% of the snaps.
Sure.
Right? So if they get another guy that's got a different skill set that eats into Coleman, oh, that's fine.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't think they're going to draft a guy that has a lot of slot.
No, I definitely agree with that.
So then you're drafting another outside guy, and you have Palmer, this guy, Curtis Samuel that plays inside and outside, and I think they want to use him more, and Coleman. So if you're telling me Coleman's going to now play more big slot, then maybe you're right. But they have basically said, like, he's an exterior. He's on the outside. He's not a slot player. Unless they change their tune on that. Like, and I know Matt Harmon is all about this. Like, he is like, if you want to unlock Keon Coleman, it's going to be from the slot. And listen, Mac Hollins did a lot of work out of the slot, and there's a ton of snaps. Well, I mean, his snaps are gone. So could he replace them in the slot because Josh Palmer doesn't do that? Sure. I don't know. I guess where I'm going with this is, let's say it's Trey Harris, which is like my draft crush at wide receiver. He's probably taking a good amount of those outside reps.
It definitely shines a negative light on the Coleman pick, but I don't think it makes him disappear entirely, which is all I'm saying. Like, I think there's plenty of room for timeshare there.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is right. That is right. So, yeah, I guess at the end of the day.
And I would say, furthermore, the uncertainty about Coleman, which really the Bills instigated themselves, the way they talked about him, maybe warrants having, you know, just another guy just in case, right? Like, they can tell Coleman he's got to do this and this and this. I don't know. The fact that you had to tell him in the first place might be an indicator that you're worried about him actually doing it. So let's make sure I've got some insurance here, and that's why I'm thinking about a guy in those first three picks.
How many quarterbacks go in round one?
I think two.
I'm saying under 2.5. I think it's two at the most.
Unless the Bills could be the reason there's a third.
That other hypothetical with the Saints for one, Cleveland.
Right. I Shedeur Sanders will be the second quarterback. I do think. I have a really tough time thinking a guy that's got 70% of his throws is verticals, screen passes, and RPOs going in the first round. I think the Saints would be foolish to trade up for a quarterback. They should be doing everything they can to be bad. But they'll probably do something stupid.
Love the sound of that. I love a team that wants to be bad.
Like, they should
embrace
be,
it.
Who's the guy they got last year from South Carolina that
Rattler
wasn't good? Yep. Just throw him out there.
You're up, buddy.
And right, good luck. I think wide receiver and defensive back, I know Matthew Collar was talking about this. I was watching one of his podcasts 2 weeks ago about, and I'm never going to remember this guy's name, but the other receiver that was across from Chris Carter, and they drafted Randy Moss.
Jake Reed.
I'll hear that name 10 times. I'm not going to remember it. I feel the same way about defensive back. Look at what the Ravens did. The Ravens didn't need safety. They took Kyle Hamilton, and it changed the outlook of their defensive backfield. They have tons of versatility. They just let go of Marcus Williams, a good player.
Paging Nick Emmanuel.
Right. So to me, defensive back and wide receiver, I just think the Bills have not spent enough of assets at either of those positions. They should do that in this draft.
Do you have... We asked you, Mike asked you, which position group you felt, you know, you had the strongest hold on. How about edge? Because that, I think, is also a need that could be in play at 30, depending on how it falls. Like, is there an idea there that you like the most?
So, my buddy on the Rock Power Pro podcast, he hates Shamar Stewart. He's like a tools guy and didn't really have a lot of production in college. The Bills did their homework on him. I think he was a top 30 visit. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're wasting a top 30 visit unless you think there's an opportunity he falls. I think he might fall. The production in college at A&M just wasn't there,
didn't
but
exist,
it's
right?
A physical specimen. If the Bills could get their hands on a guy like that at 30, I would like that a lot. At the edge position, I think it's not as deep as defensive tackle. So if you're going to take one, it would probably be in the second round. I don't know where you guys are. I know Jeremy's kind of not on the safety train. They've got one safety under contract after next year. I think the safety could absolutely be in play. And I think if it's corner, defensive tackle, defensive end, people probably will say good.
Yeah.
But I think I'd really like a wide receiver in there or a safety. And obviously, you know, I'm a Notre Dame guy. I like Xavier Watts a whole bunch because he has something in the safety room that they don't currently have, which is that just deep half pass defender. And I'm sick of the narrative that, like, well, Sean McDermott doesn't need the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
These DBs are corners. He's been able to do these great things. That he should want good players at those positions. Yeah. You shouldn't always just be able to... Well, he's able to get by with Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace. And his, I would like a world, and I think they wanted a world where they didn't have to get by a corner when they you know, the Trey White injury sucks in hindsight, and but like it's not like they were looking at it like, well, we're always going to have mid-level replacement-level corners. They were like, no, it's time for us to invest on the other side in the injury and, you know, Kyrie Elam not working out. So I think for me, corner, wide receiver, defensive tackle would be my... You know, it's kind of my wish list.
They draft defensive players right off the board. They'll get their A's.
Yes, that's right.
Throw a wide receiver in there, you'll just be like, huh? But it will make sense to us.
Well, I loved Silva's. Like, I don't love Luther Burden as a prospect for them specifically. But, like, I loved the shakeup and the conversation. It immediately started with people like, it's wide receiver. Like, well, yeah. I don't. if they took a wide receiver at 30.
Evan knows a lot. He loves his long shots, too.
Jeremy would be here at 4:15 on Friday morning if they drafted a wide receiver. Like he'd be decorating the room with banners and so on and so forth. So,
Nate, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Nate Geary, Buffalo, the Honda you want is now in stock at your local Upstate Honda dealer. Now's the perfect time to drive in the moment with their road trip ready Honda vehicles. When you're driving a Honda, you're driving the brand name Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com, best value brand for 2024. Bring on the weekend getaways, the faraway destinations, and the memories. Now is the time to buy a Honda. For great deals, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with more after the update. Sneaky Joe at 6, our annual WGR pre-draft special continues next.
Listen, it's very rare that a guy can roll in as a freshman and just start for Kirby Smart because of the intricacies of that defense. You know, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, you put them in the same camp in that respect. And Malachi started something like 42 games, like right away as a true freshman, has been an All-American since he stepped foot on campus. Malachi is a great player. I really like Malachi Starks.
Joel Klatt on Malachi Starks. Not a player we've talked much about. His highlights, one of our highlights in the open here today on our pre-draft special. Safety. Open to it?
I guess I'm open to Nick Emmanwuori. And that's a freak show as much as it's a safety. Any other safety, I might be just over here going, I just did that in the second round last year. What are we doing exactly? Recognizing Nate makes a good point. They only have Bishop's the only guy under contract beyond this year. So if they want to develop another guy, then and don't, like Salloway says, look to plug and play young safeties, then maybe it makes sense. I just don't know about in those top three picks. Myself, Emmanwuori is an exception to that for me, because he's a guy that is in the running for the best player on the field, like best athlete on the field, anytime you're on defense, and the Bills do not have a defender. You know, they've got a quarterback that fits that profile. They do not have a defender that fits that profile. And I'd be intrigued by that, but it feels a little indulgent, I will admit.
You know, we've been talking about this every day, and today we're just like all in with all our different colleagues coming in and weighing in. It seems like a draft for the Bills that they're maybe, I don't want to say best off, maybe this is likeliest. Sal seems to think it's like almost a given, the way Nate was talking, where you're just going to take what it gives you. That you're just going to take what the draft gives you. You've got your cornerbacks here. You've got your defensive tackles, you know, safety maybe, receiver maybe, other positions. But you're going to be, unless you trade and move around, which you could still do and have this happen, you're going to take the best of the corners available. You're going to take the best of the, you know, edge rushers, et cetera. And I think, like we said at the end of the last segment, if you do that, people are going to be impressed. You know, you're going to have sort of, it's kind of an easy one. Anybody could do it.
Yeah,
anybody could run that draft, at least for the first 2 days, where you're filling a hole, and then you're kind of one more, if not a hole, but somebody useful on, you'd hope, on defense probably or offense. Everybody will applaud you. What you're doing by that, though, is you're basically necessarily ignoring the freak show talent possibilities, whether that's safety, whether that's wide receiver.
Right.
Like you're not giving yourself a chance at a home run.
No, right. You're definitely flying in the face of the best player available idea. If you're drafting for that need specific.
Yes, and I think if they do this, they'll, to that question, if that's put to them, deny that. Like, well, we got this corner, this. We didn't sacrifice anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Sal's mentioning practice squad players at wide receiver as, you know, part of the argument against drafting, say, Luther Burden. I mean, the talent gap is massive.
Yeah.
And what the Bills, he's definitely right. And we've all said it, how their offense last year really was good enough. I mean, they did not suffer for not having this hoop. whatever, uber talented wide receiver on the team. I mean, for the most part, at least, you want to talk about a play here or there where they could have used it.
Or the last possession of the season. Sure.
You know, right. Of course.
Yep.
You can say that. But it's a tough, it's a little bit of a strained argument. I mean, they had a great season offensively. It's just that's really what the receiver point has always been, because they've been with Allen, they've been wildly successful. They get their points, they get their wins. When they lose to Kansas City in the playoffs, the first reason is always because they couldn't stop them. The Chiefs had an ugly year offensively this year, and they played the Bills in the playoffs and scored in the 30s. Like, it was just, they have not been able to put a dent into that offense when it's mattered. Like, that's the number one thing. So again, like, they'll draft their defense, and everybody will give them, you know,
I think
applause.
So, and I do. It is strained to an extent, I admit. But I'm still over here going, yeah, I know, 9 yards a play in the 23 playoffs. And last year they scored in the 30s after having such a dismal year in the playoffs. In both scenarios, my offense is on the field with a chance to win the game with Josh Allen as my quarterback. And I don't have enough around him to get it done. And that, to me, is still stark. I mean, I feel like some of us, maybe the fan base, a lot of the fan base, sees Philadelphia and it just turns us on McDermott. You need to do more. Address this. And look, I'm not against getting some athletes. Like, an interesting conundrum would be if they are choosing between Nick Emmanwiry and Luther Burden at 30, what would I want? You know, because that would be, that's intriguing on both sides to me. And it's not an easy one to answer, and I would want to think about it before I just give an opinion right now. But I think there's just a rush to, I got to do what they did. Look what Philadelphia did. Well, that took 3 years of drafts, right? I am not, the Bill, you're right, the Bills will get applauded almost universally if they draft corner, edge, tackle, in whatever order, right? Those are their three picks. Okay, we'll see. They saw what Philly did. If you think that's going to happen in 2025, I think you're fooling yourself. They could be pieces that could develop into that, but you're going to need more than that. You're going to need more than Epinesa to complement it. They had an army of guys, Philly, and a lot of them were high picks, not picks at 30 or 56 and 62 or whatever the hell. Did I get it right that time?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just a lot to me to expect that they're going to right that wrong and fix that. So I guess I still might revert to the previous form that I think a lot of us held, which was just outscore them. That's what I've got to do. Just outscore them. They're going to get their points. I'm going to get mine. I need to get more than them. How do I get more than them? I got to get some more talent on the field. I need to get someone that can scare them. I don't think there's anybody on that offense besides Allen that scares them. And that's not where I want to be living. So that ends up being my case for receiver. And I don't know, am I straining? I might be. I admit. I just, everything that happens on the field in the biggest games, I think it's overreacted to. The gap between the Bills and the Chiefs seems larger to us because the Eagles pummeled them. And I've said it a million times already. I don't need to pummel them. I just need to beat them. And what is going to help me in 2025 do that more? Another weapon, someone that can scare them down the field that might slow them down on what they're doing blitz package-wise and all that stuff? Or a 330-pound defensive tackle that is probably going to take time to develop into, if he is ever going to become the sort of players the Eagles seem to have a half a dozen of to throw at Kansas City? I don't know, man. I think my answer would be another weapon on offense before fixing up and getting to the point where I've got this elite group of interchangeable players that I can just come at waves at you on defense with. That takes, like, that's a philosophical, that would take years. And which one of our guests just said it? Was it Sal? They haven't drafted, or was it, I don't remember which one. We talked to three of our guys. They haven't drafted a high defensive tackle. It was between Ed Oliver and Dwayne Carter, and that's a lot of years.
Jeremy said that, and I said, "But has it hurt him? Like, so what? They've done all right, by the way, with the veterans like Jones
right.
and Jefferson they brought in and used instead. I've never once wished they used a draft pick on a defensive tackle instead of whatever else they did.
I just don't think they're going to do that this year and turn into the Eagles. And I think there's some sentiment out there that is chasing that, and I just don't think it's realistic. That's not to say you don't need talented players there, but it takes a long time. I've got Josh Allen still in the prime of his career here. And, you know, oh, gee, I wish we would have had this defense when he was still at the height of his powers. It's not going to sound good in 3 years. I don't want to assume he wouldn't be at the height of his powers in 3 years still, but the clock's ticking.
I feel like it's ticking on me. I know that. It's ticking on us, on all of us. This is our annual NFL pre-draft special live on YouTube, presented by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. About 5:45, we'll have Joe in studio at 6, Sneaky Joe. The Sabres play their final game of the regular season tonight at 7, so pregame won't start at 6 tonight. It'll be more at 6:30. Brian Koziol will take it. So a shorter pregame show tonight. See, by the way, on hockey real quick, the Lightning finished the season with exactly $0 in cap space. Not even a buck. You know?
Well done, Tampa.
I will applaud that.
Yeah. Hats off to you, Tampa.
That's an organizational commitment. Which, by the way, it should fool no one that the Lightning actually can get away with saying that they make an organizational, like the full commitment to winning. $0 in cap space is pretty good.
Yeah.
None as the season ends. Back in the playoffs yet again, Tampa Bay.
And looking like a team that, to my eyes, could win the Cup.
Dangerous.
They're not the fit. They are dangerous, and that's a year after letting the face of their franchise walk.
Hmm. Sneaky Joe at 6. We'll have more on the draft with Joe, and before that, when we return here, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to our annual WGR pre-draft special. It's been fun having Sal, Jeremy, and Nate sit in with us today. You've seen them if you're watching us on YouTube or Twitch. Sneaky Joe is next up. He'll be here at the top of the hour. I put a little bit more, quite a bit, more work in my schedule predictions.
Oh, did you write down a second team name?
Exactly what I did. There it is.
Closing with the Jets.
Can you all see that?
The game's here?
Yes.
Is that a home game?
Yeah, what do you think? Philadelphia home week 4, Jets home week 18. Last regular season game in the stadium. The first Bills game ever was at the Jets.
First Bills game ever, okay.
Then the Titans. They were known as the Titans.
Do we know what the
You bet it.
The first, there was a preseason game.
Stadium?
Yeah. But who?
Wallace Francis?
Yeah. Philadelphia, I think that was against.
I don't know. Did you go?
No. No, I did go to a game that year. I went to the Bengals regular season game that year in 73, the year the stadium opened. Who's the first regular season game? Because that would be a nice bookend if it's someone, if it's the Jets or the Dolphins or the Patriots.
In the stadium?
Yeah, in the stadium.
73?
Yeah, first regular season game.
Jets.
Okay, there you go. Then I love your pick.
Or maybe they should open with the Jets here.
I like
in those examples.
I like this way better.
The first regular season game ever played at then Rich Stadium was Bills 9, Jets 7. The Bills did not score a touchdown in the game, but they won. One of these.
All right.
Ferguson for 7 for 17 for 74.
Is John Leipold the kicker? All right.
Yes. Made 3.
Square-toed, straight-on John Leipold. Number 3.
Number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Good number for a kicker.
Number 1 in our hearts.
No, good number for a kicker. So, yeah, I don't know. You like it?
Week
18
it.
At home?
I like it. It's you know me, symmetry. So your first regular season game in the stadium is against the Jets. It's available to you. You're going to play a division team. Week 18, final regular season game, Jets. Yeah, that works for me.
There it is. Some other names today, trying to predict the Bills selection at pick 30. Certain names we've been sort of on all the time. This Amos from Ole Miss, cornerback, has been a popular one. Of course, Kenneth Grant from Michigan, mm-hmm. defensive tackle. Sal mentioned a couple players. Tyleek Williams is one.
Ohio State, I think he is.
And Derek Harmon from Oregon has come up today also as, you know, candidates for that spot.
I feel like Harmon mostly is gone by when I'm looking at mock drafts. I feel like he's going earlier. I'm really worried about, because, you know, I give this whole speech again. It's well rehearsed because I make it all the time about overreacting to the Eagles. But the league does do that, I think. And so the defensive tackles that have the upside, whether the big heavy guys like Grant, those guys I think are going to be at a premium. And so that gets me off of that idea at 30. Like if they're all going to be gone by even reasonable fourth round pick trade up territory, right? Like if I give up a fourth to move up two spots or three spots, like the Bills have been prone to do in many of these drafts, those guys might not even be in that region of the draft for you to do it. Because I think that trait, that ability to, especially if you're big and you can do both, but especially just penetrating, getting to the quarterback, that's the name of the game. I think fewer and fewer teams are less and less worried all the time, or excuse me, more and more teams are less and less worried all the time about, I got to stop the run, because it's manly and we're going to be mocked if we get run out. No, I got to get to the guy with the ball, the passer. I got to get to the quarterback. And so I might settle for, just give me the best guy that answers the big body And I can probably do that on Saturday. And if that's a part of my rotation, would I like to do better than that? Sure, but I just don't know that it's going to be readily available for the Bills to do it. Again, because I think the status of the trend in the league is going to be, I need to get interior and exterior. I just need guys that can get to the quarterback from everywhere on my defensive line. And if I've got a handful of defensive tackles that can do that, man, one of them lasting till 30 seems maybe far-fetched.
We will see in just over a week. Our pre-draft special continues as Sneaky Joe DiBiase joins us in studio after the update. The Sabres host Philadelphia tonight, final game of the season. Pre-game for that starts at 6:30. Brian Koziol takes over then. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog coming up on upcoming shows tomorrow. Sam Panayotovich, Joe Goodberry will join us. Tuesday we have Ross Tucker booked as the draft comes closer. And then Wednesday, Nick Kostos from You Better You Bet will be on the show. Back after the break with Joe here on WGR.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.